Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Dos outs. El envío. Will Smith conecta batazo elevado al jardín izquierdo. Vuela la pelota. Adiós. Will Smith. Este Will Smith da mucho más que cachetadas. Pega jonrones. Clutch, su segundo de la postemporada. Y los Dodgers arriba, 5-4.
Thank you to Fox Deportes. And you want to translate that, Manny Guapo?
Yeah. So the play-by-play guy by the name of Adrian Garcia Marquez basically said, this Will Smith does more than just slap people in the face. He hits home runs in Game 7 of the World Series.
Wow. Yeah, right.
Amazing call there.
Wanna
from
bet?
Fox
Deportes.
Oh, is that really?
Yeah, cachetazos
and
slaps
said.
In the face.
Oh, my God. I thought you were making that up.
No, I am so serious.
It'd be unethical if Manny just made that up. No, that he's our translator on the show, and that was something. The Dodgers win the World Series. Unbelievable. Really, a World Series for the ages, Pearl, no matter what side of this you are on. But I'm just getting a sense from some of the poll questions we put up on X that people are not that into this Dodgers team winning in the way they did. Because we're asking you, was the World Series more about the Blue Jays' heartbreak of the Dodgers completing the back-to-back? And Blue Jays' heartbreak is blowing this poll out of the water. The poll question, did the right team win the World Series? A little bit more narrow, but the majority of fans saying no, the right team did not win the World Series. And I think that was a common sentiment because the Blue Jays had, technically, they played better. Their stats are better. Their everything was better in this World Series. But in these clutch moments, the 18-inning game in Game 3, obviously Game 6 when everything's on the line, elimination, and then Game 7, it was the Dodgers who came up with the winning plays.
Honestly, I don't think people are talking about the Blue Jays on the base pass enough. Mm. I mean, how many mistakes were there? I mean, I know six guys got thrown out in the 18-inning game, but the double play at the end of the Game 6, like that's inexcusable. Some of the things that happened last night, how many times did they either almost get picked off? There was one double play that was reversed on a line drive. Like, get your head in the game on the base pass. I really didn't understand that. World Series, because they were great and disciplined in every other aspect of the game, but their first base coach and third base coach or whoever is telling these guys what to do, that blew the series to me. That was the one thing that cost the Blue Jays.
Wow. I mean, I don't know if a lot of people are talking about that, Pearl.
I think it was the all-time record for getting caught off base, and obviously people are killing IKF for not having a lead on that play. Like, what on earth? What was he? Was he paying attention to the game? I don't even know what he was doing.
So I've seen a little bit of that. So we're talking about bottom of the ninth. You got first and second with one out. Yamamoto's in. Then he hits Alejandro Kirk. Okay. So now you got bases full. You've got the chop infield play to Rojas. IKF did not get a big enough lead off of third. Will Smith, the catcher for the Dodgers, is at home plate. Rojas has to gather himself, throws home, and the cleat came off of home plate for like a millisecond, but Will Smith got it back on to home plate. It would have ended the series if IKF had slid in cleanly and if Will Smith's foot had been off the bag even slightly, but obviously it was called out at home. Replay review does not overturn the call. Now, I've seen a little bit of IKF was actually doing the right thing down third base because you don't want to be further down than where the third baseman is standing because you also don't want to have a situation where you are going to get picked off at third and be the final out at third. So, I don't know. I've seen a little bit of both. You're right. It was not super clean for the Toronto Blue Jays, but they came up with some amazing defensive plays in their own right. The Dodgers just came up with a few more. And
how about that'd be the best? The symbol of the series was David Schneider got thrown out at home plate by at least 10 feet. Like, what was that? Explain that one away. Like, he should not have gone. I don't know. I guess I'm a little, I thought when I was rooting, I like the Dodgers too. But to see the Blue Jays lose that and know that they're not going to be back for 30 years, I'm sorry.
Aww.
That's just the way this sport is. That was their, It just feels like in modern baseball, you have one shot if you don't take advantage of it. And trust me, I think, for example, I'm a Phillies fan. Like, they blew their shot. Like, they've had multiple chances in the last 5 years, and they just don't come enough where you can lose it. You basically, like, you have to be so on your game. And credit to the Dodgers when it counted, especially in Game 7, like, they refused to lose.
I think Yamamoto, obviously, is the World Series MVP. He comes in relief after pitching 6-plus innings in Game 6, comes into this game, goes 2 2/3, gets more outs in this game than Shohei Ohtani did, who started the game. And Yamamoto was just unbelievable. And he was a guy who's getting paid more than $300 million. Like, you know,
he's going to win the Cy Young. He's nasty.
Think about this. He made 30 starts this year in the regular season. Then you're here as far as you can possibly go in the postseason. Game 7, he won 3 different games in Game 7. I mean, something that hadn't been done since, what, Randy Johnson, right? Christy Mathewson. It's this crazy, crazy stuff that happened in this game and happened in this series. And I just think people are down on the Dodgers, bro, because you can say that baseball postseason is a crapshoot, but it does feel like the Dodgers are here all the time. Whether they actually win it, okay, I'll give you that. You know, the teams are competitive when you get to the playoffs, but they are here consistently.
Well, yeah, but for years they were the face of postseason disappointment, the singular face in the sport of postseason.
Well, the Yankees.
No, I think the 2015 through 20 Dodgers were a major issue. Like, the year they won 108 or something, and that was like the storyline with the Dodgers. So to say that they're here consistently, for them, they have one measurement, and that's winning the World Series. Anything short of that is a total failure, right?
Like, well, I think people look at 2017 a little differently after the Astros scandal.
Okay.
Maybe should have lost that one.
Okay.
And I think, you know, listen, I'm not really giving them a lot of credit for 2020, a 60-game season. We were in a pandemic. It was crazy times. But I don't know if I count that one. But, I mean, look at what's happened the last 2 years. They signed the best player to ever play in Shohei Ohtani. He deferred money so they could bring his buddy, who's also amazing, in Yamamoto. And these guys have won it back-to-back.
Like, no, I mean,
they can't say that it's not working for the Dodgers.
Yeah, but can you say for a long time it was not working, where their regular season, by the way, and we'll get to the football game, which is a similar storyline. There's a difference between being able to win in the regular season and win in the postseason.
Yeah. Okay. Let's do it. You guys can call in about
you know
the
what I'm
series.
Talking about.
Yeah, of course. 888-710-4ISN. Let's talk about the Bills game yesterday. Bills Chiefs. You know, tight game, competitive game. Bills obviously win at 28-21 at a doinked field goal that gave the ball back to Kansas City, Pearl, with plenty of time for them to try to go down and score. And I'm going to be honest with you, it is really shocking to me when the Chiefs don't score in these situations. They got the ball back, and it was only 22 seconds. But again, we've seen Mahomes do more with less. 13-second game comes to mind there. But they had no timeouts.
One shot into the end zone, which is pretty close, and then he couldn't quite even get it to the end zone. Yeah, it was a Hail Mary situation. I got to be honest, I was thinking about you during that 22 seconds. I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah,
Maggie,
not again.
The second the field goal missed, I'm like, oh, Maggie, just hang in there. Hang in there, kid.
Thanks, Dad. No, I appreciate that. I was not hanging in. I was letting it all hang out. No, I was a mess. I was a puddle. But here's the situation. You and I see this very differently. So yeah. Bills win 28-21. And I'm not going to put words in your mouth, but basically what you said was same old story.
Yeah, absolutely. The stat is pretty glaring. They're 5-0 since 2020 in the regular season and 0-4 in the postseason. So why am I supposed to think this is any different? I'll even take it a step further. I'll go against the grain here.
Yeah.
It's harder to beat the Chiefs twice than it is to beat them once. So if you lose this game, it makes you almost feel better about the next meeting. I'm telling you right now, this is not what you think it means. I think the Chiefs, if they get to the playoffs to face the Bills,
Yeah. Like
this loss does not determine anything. Even if the game's in Buffalo, that means you have to knock off Patrick Mahomes twice, and you know how hard that is.
Yeah, it's impossible. But this is where I'm going to disagree with you. So the win brings Buffalo to 6-2,
right,
and the loss for Kansas City takes them to 5-4. This is why yesterday was important for the Bills. you need as many shots at Kansas City as possible in your own stadium.
But they're still going to get home field, whether they win or lose that game, because they play basically a USFL schedule the next of the year. They're easily winning. Yes, their schedule's so easy.
Pearl, you're forgetting that the Patriots actually beat the Bills already once in Buffalo.
Right, but if they play Kansas City, they'll have a better record.
Well, this is why this is important, because, yeah, maybe you can look at the Bills on paper, but the Bills on paper lost to the Atlanta Falcons. So.
But no, the Bills are coming in at 12 wins, or 13 wins. The Kansas City is going to sneak in with 10 or 11 wins. They're not getting home field over Buffalo, even with a win last night.
Well, I want to leave as little doubt as humanly possible, because I don't know what's going to go on the rest of the year. You've got Indianapolis, like, we'll talk about them in a moment. That was a big fall from grace yesterday against the Steelers, but are they in trouble or was that just a blip? The Patriots look like they're for real. Got a little help from the Falcons yesterday. Denver, good luck figuring them out, but they got a win yesterday. And look, it looks like it's going to be the Steelers and the Ravens maybe duking it out in the playoffs, for the AFC North crown. I want, if I'm Buffalo, and I know you can say, Maggie, they lost to Kansas City in Buffalo before, but you know what? You need as many shots at them in your home stadium as humanly possible. And I'll tell you why. Yesterday, and I'm free to admit this, the Bills got a couple calls that really went their way. Being able to not review the intentional grounding call on Patrick Mahomes, Pearl, I just don't think that happens if you're in Kansas City. Gene Steratore, the rules analyst, comes on and says 30 years of his life, he's never seen something like that. I'm not embarrassed for it, and I'm not going to make excuses because Kansas City gets plenty of calls, but I don't think you get that call in KC. I don't think you get some of these calls if you are in Kansas City on the road. You say it all the time. You think your Eagles crowd intimidates the referees. Refs matter in football, even with expedited review, replay review, 150 camera angles. They need that game at home if you're Buffalo, if you have any shot of taking out Kansas City in the postseason, which they haven't been able to do.
I'm not so sure. I mean, home field is obviously famously disappeared a little bit in the playoffs. It's a different world altogether right now. I'm not so sure that's true. I feel like Buffalo going into Kansas City, it's going to be a cold weather game in either KC or Buffalo. Just look at the recent AFC title games. Like, it's a total crapshoot who's going to win, the home team or the road team. And maybe Patrick Mahomes is playing. I just think that you can't possibly have confidence after yesterday's game that anything's going to change, because they were right there. The Chiefs, by the way, that was the worst game Mahomes has played in like 2 years, and they were still right there.
They said that Patrick Mahomes, the last time that he completed fewer than 50% of his passes was a game against TCU. When he was at Texas Tech.
He had no idea where he wanted to go with the ball, because credit Sean McDermott. Like, there was just either he didn't see anything or he was just off, because he dropped back and you could tell, like, oh, crap, what am I going to do now? Giving time for Joey Bosa and everybody to get to him.
Yeah, they did come up with some big chunk plays, though, when they needed them. I mean, they completed a 4th and 17 at one point. I mean, the Mahomes magic is still very much there. But, Pearl, you're telling me that just because Kansas City one time had to go on the road to win the AFC Championship game and did it in Baltimore in a game when Lamar Jackson and everyone else in a Baltimore uniform just completely no-showed, you think there's no home field advantage whatsoever, yet the Chiefs keep getting these AFC Championship games in their building and getting to the Super Bowl?
2018, Patriots win in Arrowhead.
Yeah, Patrick Mahomes was a baby.
Okay.
His first year as a full-time starter.
2021, Bengals win in Arrowhead.
Mahomes probably got concussed at the end of the first half. That's what we think upon further review.
I'm hearing a lot of excuses. Okay, let's see. In 2022, they did beat the Bengals barely in Kansas City. Then, obviously, they won in Baltimore. And last year, they beat your Bills in KC. But, you know, I'm not totally disagreeing that home field matters. You know what I mean. Like, this is time and time again, the Bills win this regular season game and it doesn't work.
Well,
I mean,
of course,
it does not translate.
What do you want them to fold the franchise? Like, what? I don't know what you want to say, right?
Well, I can't read into that game and say, so the odds switch coming into the game, and even right after the game, I checked, the Chiefs were a slight favorite to win the Super Bowl at 6-1.
Yeah.
And the Bills were 6.5-1. It just flip-flopped. And now the Bills are the favorite at 6-1. And the Chiefs are 6.5-1. I'm not confidently placing that bet until the Chiefs are long dead.
Well, of course. I mean, I'm not going to fight you there. But if the playoffs ended today, the Chiefs would not be in the postseason, which is a very different place for them to be.
Yeah,
last year they went 15-2, but they had all these one-score games that they were winning and kind of pulling stuff out of their you-know-where. This year they're 0-4 in one-score games. It's just a very different kind of season. I'm not writing their obituaries. Yeah. Believe me, I'm not. The Chiefs are amazing. But this has been a little unique season, mostly because guys have been out and they've been getting them back and working them into the lineup, at least offensively.
Yeah, I think that the Chiefs' schedule will balance out. They have some tough games. They go to Denver after the bye. But then they end the season with Chargers, who are not going to be the same team now that Joe Alt's out, at Tennessee, Denver in Arrowhead, and at Vegas. So I think that even if it looks desperate, they could get hot as long as Mahomes is healthy. I feel like they're, again, it's maybe I'm like just haunted by Mahomes. I feel like until they're dead, they're Terminator. They are always going to find a way to get back into the mix. And that was my takeaway. I'm like, wow, Bills look great. Their run game was amazing. They stuffed the Chiefs' run game. I'm not going to get fooled again. Because I've thought in the past when I've seen Josh Allen win in the regular season that this is the year. I will not get fooled again. I'm not saying that they can't do it, but I just can't read into last night's game and say, wow, this is a different situation.
Yeah, well, you're the one who keeps picking them for the Super Bowl, you know?
I actually picked the Ravens this year, and if I could have it again, I would take the Bills because the Ravens are not going to win in Buffalo. That's where home field is very important. KC, I do not... Beating them twice, Maggie, you know how hard that is.
Yeah.
And I hope that someone else for the Bills knocks out Mahomes, because, which is very possible. It does happen. You know, KC is not unbeatable, because it feels like if it comes down to the fourth quarter, isn't there a mental thing going on?
So I'm glad you mentioned the mental thing, because, yeah, there definitely is. We're talking about last night, the Bills beat the Chiefs 28-21. Patrick Mahomes has two shots at the end zone at the end of the game, but can't connect on either one. So obviously the Bills defense is sus, as the kids say, sus, especially on the back end there. They allowed some really big chunk yardage, especially on third downs, for Patrick Mahomes to complete 3rd and 10, 3rd and 12, a 4th and 17 at one point to keep a drive alive. So the Bills got issues on the back end. There were some young guys yesterday, real young rookies, who made some big plays, and I think that was important for them.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you have Cole Bishop and you have Max Hairston, and these are guys who are not going to be household names for people outside of Buffalo, so I'm sorry if I'm trying to get in the weeds here, but it's important, I think, that these younger guys who hopefully be playing much better at the end of the year than they were at the beginning of the year, Pearl, and Hairston was hurt. They need to be able to taste a little success here, right? I mean, because there is a boogeyman aspect to Patrick Mahomes for a lot of people on this team. And I think for the young guys who have no fear and come in with no history, no bad history, weren't there for 13 seconds, don't give a crap about it, I think it's good for them to get a little taste of it. Now, will it matter? Ultimately, who knows? But that game has to be in Buffalo if the Bills want any shot to actually beat the Chiefs in the playoffs.
I reject your logic that they don't know about this. So it doesn't matter because there have been all sorts of different players in the four playoff losses. It's not let's be realistic about this. This is week 8 or something. There are so many injuries to come for both teams, especially like the Bills seem to be, they kind of get hurt a lot.
Yeah, Ed Oliver's not playing right
now. Yeah, and they lost that young defensive end too last night. Hoyt, is it?
Yeah, looked pretty bad.
I think they said it was the bad one. I think it was Achilles.
Yeah, or Achilles.
It was a non-contact Achilles.
I just think the Chiefs, they have to stay healthy as well. Like I think I am making the mistake of penciling them both into the AFC title game. I worry a little bit about the Bills have a little bit of a Chargers feel now where all their defensive guys seem to get hurt. But we'll see. Because Josh Allen, I'm not surprised that Josh Allen and Cook looked so good last night. They're amazing.
James Cook is something else.
And I told you Dalton Kincaid could be a one. He's amazing.
Mm-hmm. He's a first-round pick. He should be amazing.
But you were slow on the Kincaid train. Admit it.
He has some games where some of it used to be dependent on who you played, right? If you had teams that were susceptible to tight ends, he could really go off. Other games, he would kind of disappear. It was like that. But he's been a lot more consistent this year. Yeah. They should have enough. I mean, as far as offense, James Cook, Dalton Kincaid... You know, you've got hopefully Keon Coleman comes through at some point.
Have you ever seen
Josh Allen? Obviously,
you got 13 more games to keep Joey Bosa upright.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I know.
I don't want to jinx anyone. I just think that it is also a long season ahead. We're talking like the AFC title game's tomorrow, and it's going to be KC and Buffalo. Long, long way to go.
I was thinking about that. I'm like, man, I wish the playoffs just started tomorrow. Let's just get to it. But
it felt that way during last night's game. You see, like, all right, that's act one. Let's go to act two.
I was not surprised that Bosa had a big game because if anyone should know Mahomes, it's this guy.
Yeah.
He's been playing him twice a year. I mean, I know Bosa's always been injured in odd lineups, but he should be familiar with how to get through that offensive line. He played for the Chargers for all those years.
Did he beat Mahomes, though?
No, but he applied a lot of pressure.
I'm just saying, he knows how to lose to Mahomes.
Oh, you mean
yeah, I mean, that's
in L.A.
I assume the Chargers do not have a great record against the Chiefs. Bosa looks great. Again, though, he's a guy who we knew was going to look great. And when you signed him, he was available. Teams don't trust that he'll stay healthy. If that whole team that we saw in the Bills last night is healthy coming into playoffs, man, could be the year. I'll totally go with you there. But the Chiefs, the mental aspect in the playoffs still really worries me.
We have so much more football to get to today, including a wild, wild one in Cincinnati. How? They keep losing these games, and you heard some of the Cincinnati Bengals getting very, very frustrated with the fact that their defense cannot get a stop. So we got some big implications from that game. What in the world happened to the Packers yesterday? A loss at home to the Carolina Panthers? What planet are we on?
Well, they lost to the Browns, too. Now they've lost.
At least that one was on the road.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, they
Flacco
can't.
Flacco was still the double quarterback.
Digit, when they're favored by double digits, they can't win. They can't.
Flacco, you mean the reincarnation of Dan Marino?
What's that?
Flacco, you mean the reincarnation of Dan Marino?
We need another category for this dude.
Let's be fair, though, EJ. He's better than Marino.
Joe Flacco, the former Jets quarterback?
Oh, my gosh.
And former Eagle.
It's just, we need a new lane. Because what Joe Flacco is doing, we don't see this a lot. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476.
Joe Flacco?
You guys want to talk about your game on this crazy Monday? Give us a call. It's the Mets.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Aggie and Perloff Show.
It's going to be a good day with Maggie and Perloff.
All right, this portion of the show is sponsored by Square. More than 4 million neighborhood businesses run on Square. To learn more, go to square.com or just stop by your favorite local business. See you in the neighborhood. Square. All right, what was that?
It was Ja'Marr Chase. After the game yesterday, Bengals lose to the Bears in an unreal collapse. Well, it was a comeback, and then the Bengals defense can't close, and that was Ja'Marr Chase saying, one bleeping stop. Can't get one bleeping stop.
I mean, really, they shouldn't. And the funny thing is, now I think about it, they should have lost the game. They got a crazy onside kick recovery. So it is a bizarre game. If the Bears had lost, that would have been the collapse of the season.
Yep.
So it's a lot going on with this game.
Yes.
This is my favorite game of the year. I know week one had a great game with the Ravens and Bills.
Yeah.
This was just as bananas and kind of impactful too, because the Bengals really should be in the mix. With Joe Flacco playing this well, they should be a contender in the AFC North, but they keep blowing these games.
I mean, Flacco erasing a 2-score deficit in the final 2 minutes. They take the lead with 54 seconds left. I mean, he was 31 for 47, 470 yards, four touchdowns. He did throw two picks in the game, but that's because it's Joe Flacco.
I mean, 470. That's the number. 470 yards. He's getting his career highs in his 40s. It's amazing.
Well, he's got these two incredible weapons.
Oh, yeah.
And this one came from, I saw it from a guy, Doug Clawson, on X yesterday. The Bengals are the second team in NFL history to lose back-to-back games, both with 38 points scored. Last week, it was to the lowly Jets, where Breece Hall, the running back, throws a touchdown to beat the Bengals. Defense couldn't get a stop there. This game starts out with DJ Moore throwing a touchdown to Caleb Williams with Ben Johnson in his bag of tricks yesterday. And the Bengals' defense is just absolutely toothless. And you make the trade for Flacco because you're trying to hold the fort for Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
And Flacco and the offense have far and away done their part.
Yep.
I mean, they've done everything you could ask for, and the defense is so bad, Pearl. I mean, Zach Taylor has to get fired off of this, right?
Yeah, and quasi-GM, his title's not GM, but Duke Tobin will probably get fired he picked these guys. But there's something about that Bengals ownership that makes you nervous. Like, they obviously, and I actually like Zach Taylor, but obviously the team is not responding right now. So, you know, you saw the full T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase effect. They should, again, they should be in contention this year, even without Joe Burrow. I think it's time to start over. I do. Zach Taylor, by the way, this is a guy who got to the brink of winning a championship and almost beat KC in KC. So it's not all on him, but there's something about that. It's organizational dysfunction. You can kind of tell. The fact that the offense is cursing out the defense after the game, that means it's got to be really bad.
So let's hear some of that. So now Zach Taylor, as the head coach, doesn't just have to worry about how much his defense stinks. Now he's got to worry about the offense and the defense having some kind of civil war in their locker room. So here is Chase Brown, running back for the Bengals, after the game, saying he just wishes the defense could make a bleeping play.
We just got to play complimentary football. Like, we put the ball in the end zone and go up a point at the end, finish the f-ing game. Like, just end it. Like, that's it. Like, that's what we need to do. Just end the f-ing game. Like, make them get us the ball back. Let us f-ing go to 22 victory and let's end the game. That's how I feel.
Yeah, very honest. That was Chase Brown. Let's hear from Ja'Marr Chase, who says he doesn't know how to react to this terrible defense.
I don't know. I've never been in this situation. I don't know how to handle it. I don't know. I'm just trying to stay positive.
Okay, and more from Chase. When asked to elaborate, said, you know what? I'm going to mind my business on this
one. I'm going to stay in my lane. I don't want no defensive player coming chew me out about what the f- I'm doing.
It ain't good. And I get it. Pro emotions are going to be running high here, and they're going to have to clean this up, because if I'm a defensive player for the Bengals and I hear Chase Brown or Ja'Marr Chase saying these kind of things, I can't get offended. I can't get upset. You just lost to the Jets and now to the Bears, who, you know, you basically had dead to right, and you should still be in this thing. And instead they're 3-6 and the season's basically over.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, even if they were mad, what are they going to do? They're the Bengals defense. They can't hit.
Oh.
Yeah,
ouch.
I mean, wow. I do think that.
Dang.
Chase Brown.
They got no hands.
Honestly, what the heck has Chase Brown done in this league? That's one thing I would say. Nothing. I mean, honestly, at this point, like, do you trade Trey Hendrickson today and get as much as you can? And just, it's time to rebuild. I think that is the message here. But it's hard when you have so much, when you have really the best wide receiver duo we've seen in a long time. I'm going to put them ahead of Jefferson and Addison or anybody else in the league. Maybe Devontae Adams and Puka Nacua when they're together. But this, there's so much talent there, but it's just not working. The question is, will Zach Taylor get a pass because Joe Burrow's hurt? That's a little bit of a concern.
Well, he did get coach. You're not the offensive coordinator.
Yeah. Oh, no.
7:30 Eastern time. We got breaking news. This means somebody has gotten fired.
Is it Zach Taylor just after I said that?
No firings.
Okay.
So everybody's still got jobs, okay. But people may be moving around. So it's 7:30. We have our first biggest trade of the NFL trade deadline. So, Perloff, you're a Philadelphia Eagles, have acquired Jalen Phillips from the Miami Dolphins. Exchange for a 2026 third-round pick. So the Eagles, who are looking for an edge rusher, find themselves in a former Kane, Jalen Phillips.
Yeah, Fangio had him in Miami, loved him. Everybody thought this was coming. The one thing, this probably knocks out a couple bigger fish. Not that Miles, you know, our friend Diana, I love her. I was really mad at her this weekend, but she reported the Browns will not trade Myles Garrett to the Eagles no matter
what.
That's
her fault?
Yeah. Okay. Her accuracy. Yeah, and it's totally her fault. She's married to an Eagles fan. She should put that out into the universe. So Myles Garrett, that was the dream all weekend. I walked around Halloween night. At least four Eagles fans said to me, do you think we're getting him? Meaning Myles Garrett, not going to happen. Jalen Phillips, I don't know. I mean, Maggie, you've seen a lot more of this guy as a Bills fan. And I guess Vic Fangio, the defense coordinator of the Eagles, loves him. I don't know if this is the game changer, because the Eagles defense still scares me.
Well, that's the whole thing about Philadelphia, though, right? When you're talking about that defensive line, do you really need the game changer, or do you just need someone who can be productive and who can strengthen that line?
I don't know.
You have so many dogs on this team. What do you want? Miles Garrett? Get out of here.
Are you kidding me? I see the dogs, but they're out making plays in other cities. I saw Javon Hargrave made an incredible play the other day. Milton Williams. Even Bryce Huff is all of a sudden good on another team. We need some edge pressure in a big, big way. And Za'Darius Smith, who they signed earlier this season, that obviously didn't work. I don't know. Jalen Phillips has always been, to me, more promise than delivery.
Well, he's also been on teams that have not been very great, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, playoffs, but not actual real contenders. I think that he goes to Philadelphia and probably gets rejuvenated. Imagine being a Miami Dolphin right now. What do you have to play for?
Right.
It's been a complete mess since the beginning of the season.
Does this mean, by the way, Max Crosby, Myles Garrett, maybe even Trey Hendrickson might not go anywhere? Because I'm sure the Eagles tried to go as high end as possible. And Jalen Phillips is good, but third round pick is high. I'll bet you they offered first for guys. I really do think that, because it is a thin margin of error. What you need a closer. I mean, you know, look at what Joey Bosa did for the Bills yesterday. And that, by the way, means your Bills. Do the Bills need a pass rusher still, or what? They need defensive.
They need secondary
because of injuries and stuff.
Yeah, one thing about that Bills Chiefs game that you and I did not talk about. And thank you for that breaking news, EJ. That Jalen Phillips now is headed from Miami to the reigning Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles. Andy Reid decided to kick a field goal at the end of the first half. I was stunned. You're 4th-and-1 with a couple seconds left to go. You don't have any timeouts, but
it was the last play, obviously.
I just don't understand. Like, did he have a stroke on the sideline? Like,
did you see the three plays before?
Any team in the league should go for that at 4th-and-1.
Well, the reason you go for a 4th-and-1 is because you pin the other team down there. There's no pinning them down because the half was over.
No, so you're trailing. You need to score.
Well, they were down. They made it 21-13, and they got the ball back at the beginning of the second half, and they were moving the ball. It's different. One of the reasons you go for a 4th-and-1 at the goal line is because if you fail, the other team's at the 1 yard line, and you lost that advantage. So I think the analytics changed. But it wasn't just that. Those three plays before, like, they moved backwards. They were awful. They didn't look like Mahomes at all.
You're the Kansas City Chiefs. You've got more weapons now. You've got everybody healthy.
Your run game stinks.
Well,
Kareem Hunt is your best option, and he should not be your best option.
I don't know. Scored easily on a different touchdown later on in the game.
But by the way, that red zone drive wasn't pretty either. Like, there's something. They're a little bit off right now.
Let's get to Bogus, who's got the latest headlines. Again, Jalen Phillips gets traded from the Dolphins to the Eagles.
All your other headlines are sponsored by Progressive Insurance. The annual Progressive Keys to Progress program provides vehicles to deserving veterans, helping our heroes drive their lives forward. Learn more at keystoprogress.com. Maybe their luck will run out later this season, or maybe the Broncos will just keep winning like this.
Snap, placement, kick on the way. It is good.
Short and sweet on Broncos Radio. Will Lutz good from 34 as time expired, giving Denver an 18-15 win in Houston. The Broncos now 4-0 when down entering the fourth quarter. It was 15-7 through three yesterday. Boo Nix's team has won 6 in a row overall.
I thought we did a good job managing the situations. And we played a little bit of a field position battle there at the very end. And we knew it was a matter of time until there was just a drive that, you know, we went down and scored.
That's taken on a camcorder?
This game also featured a sketchy hit on a sliding C.J. Stroud in the first quarter. Oof. It left the Texans QB in concussion protocols. Jaden Daniels, meanwhile, may have suffered a season-ending left elbow injury late in the Commanders' 38-14 loss to the Seahawks on Sunday Night Football. Daniels was trying to run in a touchdown, got spun to the ground, put his left arm down to brace his fall, and his elbow buckled. It's reportedly dislocated. The game already decided, so why was Daniels still playing, Dan Quinn?
In hindsight, you don't want to think that way, where, you know, an injury could take place. Obviously, we're more conservative in that spot to run and hand off and not have reads to go. But just the end result, Nicky, obviously I'm bummed.
Oh, he's bummed. His team on a 4-game losing streak, dropping to 3-6 overall. One other significant injury note from yesterday, the Packers afraid Tucker Kraft tore his ACL during their 16-13 loss to the Panthers.
That's such a huge blow for them. Their offense, I mean, they're already missing a lot of guys, Jaden Reed and stuff like that, but I mean, Tucker Kraft, you saw it during the Steelers game. He was the offense.
Well, I actually had the thought, like, they need to learn to throw to their wide receivers there. So maybe believe me, this is going to be a huge injury, but maybe it opens up the offense a little more, because right now their offense looks predictable and was terrible yesterday.
Nebraska QB Dylan Raiola done for the season. A broken right leg suffered in Saturday night's loss to USC. And South Carolina fired OC Mike Shula yesterday after their fourth loss in a row. They're 3-6 altogether. I saw a tweet this morning saying this is NBA history.
Oh, well, they take it away from Wiggins.
Good defense by Van.
3-on-1, left
Bronny.
I've not yet confirmed the validity of NBA history, but maybe Austin Reeves is the first player ever to throw an alley-oop to a father and son last night, hooking up with Bronny, with dad, of course, sidelined. The Lakers won their third straight, 130-120 over the Heat. Luka, 29 points, 11 rebounds, and 10 assists. And baseball handed out its gold gloves last night. The Cubs leading the way with three winners: left fielder Ian Happ, center fielder Pete Crow Armstrong, and second baseman Nico Horner. Guys, back to you.
Bogues, thanks so much. Quickly, Reed is in Indianapolis. Reed, you saw your Colts lose to the Steelers yesterday. Were you worried?
Hey. All right. Is there anything as a moral victory, because we get six turnovers and only lost by seven? So that is that a moral victory? That's one question. And the other question is,
yes, the other
is
question.
Is this Mike McDaniel?
Okay, so you know, they had their trunk or treat here in America, but you know, in Europe, they call the trunk the boot.
Yeah.
Do they have boot or treat in Europe?
Reed, you're asking the question that everyone in America is thinking this morning. Thank you so much for that. I mean, I've heard of the boot and rally. I feel like we call that Friday night of Manny's.
You've heard of it?
I've heard. We'll go to the moral victory.
All right. No, it's so funny. The Colts, of course, the Colts were in that game. Like, because Aaron Rodgers has the same exact passing total every single game, 203 yards. He's had it 9 weeks in a row. Like, that Steelers offense, it's so Mike Tomlin. It's like, you know what? We have a lead. Let's just hang out and hope that we end up with a victory, no matter how many times Daniel Jones throws it to us.
It was funny because I'm watching like six games, seven games at once.
In the 1 o'clock window.
Six, seven games at once. There was one on the Steelers game. They're showing a graphic about how Mike Tomlin is like the least aggressive head coach as far as like fourth down calls and other things and going for it.
And first down and second
like
down and third down.
Since like 2009, and they're talking about that. And then on the flip side, I have Greg Olson on the Packers Carolina Panthers game at the same time being like, if you don't go for it on fourth down in this league, like, you're going to get left behind. And you're
we do not care.
And it was happening at the exact same time. I was having whiplash. No, you got the full Daniel Jones experience, Colts fans, yesterday.
Yeah.
This one's a little more familiar to the Giants fans. The three interception, was it two fumbles?
It was
five. Highsmith got one, Watt got one, right?
Yeah, five turnovers by
three
him.
Three total
six
fumbles.
Yeah, two lost.
Two lost, yeah.
And multiple picks.
And then the three picks, yeah. That's what we call the full DJ.
The only thing he didn't do was trip on a yard line.
Well, if that game had gone a little longer, maybe he would have gotten that. I don't know. He doesn't run much anymore.
I don't know. It feels like this New York people rip Sam Darnold, too, and he sure looks like an MVP to me.
That's not
maybe
my
Daniel
team,
Jones is better than you think. I'm just saying, maybe that's not the full Daniel Jones. The week, you know, the other weeks are the full Daniel Jones. How do you know?
Well, we'll find out. But I don't know where that Steelers defense was hiding. All of a sudden, they looked amazing.
The formula for the Steelers to win, like, Mike Tomlin's had a lot of great quotes after the game. It's obviously T.J. Watt wins you the game, or T.J. Watt doesn't win you the game. And he's back. I don't know where he went, but he's back. And when he is doing that, then they're so frustrating to me because they do not change at all. This is the same Pittsburgh Steelers team for 9 years, and they're going to be 10-7 and lose in the wild card. Sorry, facts.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Was there another team besides Indianapolis that maybe showed a bit of a pretender? It's the Maggie and Perloff Show.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver.
Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
There's a fine line between drinking wine and squashing grapes in our business, and, you know, that's an example of it.
It's Maggie and Perloff on the Infinity Sports Network.
It's a good one. Another Mike Tomlinism to add to the file.
Yeah, it doesn't 100% make sense, which is so Tomlin.
You have to think about it for a second. I get what he's talking about there. It's not always pretty.
Can you explain a little?
Yeah, it's not always pretty. Sometimes it's fine wine, and sometimes it's just crushing grapes.
Oh, see, it's not always pretty. I felt like sometimes the grapes turn into wine, and sometimes they don't. They just become sour. Hmm. I don't know. Like, basically, he's saying it's such a thin margin between winning and losing.
Yeah. We both came up with that.
But that's not what you said. Sometimes it's ugly. No, he's not saying it's ugly. Sometimes it says you basically have the same team can play 1 to 2 weeks. And, like, honestly, like, three plays can determine whether it's a win or a loss. It's not like what you think it is.
I think the more you the more you try to really think about it, just let the Tomlinism just wash over you, right? Just enjoy it while we have it. 888-710-4ISN. But the bigger question is, what did you take away from it, right? Steelers defense, who looked really bad in the second half against the Packers last week, right? Yep. They let Jordan Love do whatever he wanted, basically. And Tucker Kraft ran and caught was just roughshod all over them, catches, runs, all that yak. And then this week, completely different story. They harassed Daniel Jones. He threw three picks. He put the ball on the turf a few times. It was just a completely different looking game for Pittsburgh. Now, they only win by a score, but again, there's Tomlin with you with that grapes and wine line. It's never going to be a blowout with these Steelers.
That's
not what they do.
The Steelers, I'll tell you what they do. They beat good teams, and they lose to bad teams. Remember last year, they were 8-2, then they started dropping games that were completely inexcusable. So they'll probably beat your Bills in week 13 and then turn around and lose to Miami in week 15. Like, that is, they are the most erratic under Mike Tomlin. It almost feels like their formula is not sustainable. Like, yes, TJ Watt can wreck a game and you win, but Aaron Rodgers throws all these short passes into so much traffic, and I don't feel like their offense is really fully realized. It doesn't feel like they have a consistent run game, and it doesn't feel like Aaron Rodgers can throw down the field. Am I missing something with their offense? He never takes shots, and it doesn't feel like he's a great shot when he does take them.
Well, he's only got DK Metcalf, really.
Yeah.
And Roman Wilson, I guess. But here's the thing. I think that Mike Tomlin, this is the thing. When they have a lead, when the Steelers have a lead, it just gives Mike Tomlin permission to punt on every 4th-and-2 and 4th-and-3 imaginable, right? Like, it's just not an aggressive offense. It's really conservative. And when they have the lead, they just turtle up. But to me, the bigger story was really about the Steelers defense, because they were really bad. And I'm curious, does this mean they've found some kind of turning point, or are they actually going to be the unit that the Steelers can rely on? I don't know, but it was impressive for sure.
10-7. Headed our way.
Let's go to Richie, who's in Queens. Good morning, Richie. How are you, sir?
Hey, guys. How are you?
We're good. What's on your mind?
Yeah, you know, you touched on the Steelers. I watched them a little bit. I'm up in PA now, so I get the first time I've seen Jones, and it kind of was a flashback a little bit of when he's with the Giants. I mean, the fumble, the strip play, something that he's avoided pretty much all year. But, you know, I want to talk about the Giants, Maggie. It's just beyond pathetic how bad they are. You know, obviously we're looking at Dart. We're looking at Progress. So we wanted to see him do well. The defensive line that was supposed to be one of the elite guys with Thibodeau, Abdul Carter, they keep saying he does good things. You know what? I don't need a singles hitter when I got a power hitter. I don't need a guy like Carter who's fairly good against the run. I need that sack that makes it 3rd-and-13 and, you know, and 2nd and whatever it may be. And I'm not seeing that. And, you know, Dable, he comes out, obviously, I don't know how much you can say after you lose the way you lose every week. But they're just so incredibly inept.
Yeah. Final score was really deceiving there, Richie. 34-24. You would think, all right, maybe the Giants had a way to hang in this game. It was just not the case. Thank you for the call. It was, you know, listen, what are you supposed to do if you're this great defensive line, Pearl, when you're down 2 scores? And basically, Mac Jones and Christian McCaffrey can kind of do whatever they want. And that's exactly what they did.
I mean, they did. Brian Burns did blow up the game a couple times. He leads the league in sacks. It's not like their defensive line isn't doing anything. It's just, I hate to say it, I feel like they lost their mojo when Scataboo went down. I know that's not scientific. Dart looked pretty good to me. I'm kind of into Jackson Dart. And that's, I understand Richie's frustration, but that's what this season is about. Forget anything else. Can you build around Jackson Dart? And I think that's a yes. And Brian Burns, I'm telling you right now, you can't win Defensive Player of the Year with four wins.
Yeah.
He deserves it. He is fantastic. And it's so weird they picked Abdul Carter when they have, I think Brian Burns, and this might be a hot take, is right there with Myles Garrett and Nick Bosa and Aiden Hutchinson or any of those guys. So what is Abdul Carter's role? I'm not really sure.
Well, I mean, listen, I think they did not pick up the fifth-year option on Kayvon Thibodeau. So they're probably, first of all, he was the best available at three.
Well, they could have gone, I think they should have gone Will Campbell. I mean, maybe. Because they can't keep their offensive linemen healthy. Best available, but maybe you don't always go best available if you already have a guy there.
Yeah, I mean, I can't really knock him for taking Abdul Carter.
I hear. Well, we did say a lot of people were like, huh, that's a lot invested in that defensive line.
They have a lot invested in the offensive line, actually.
Yeah, but I mean, that's all falling apart.
Well, that's the Giants story for the last decade plus. But yeah, Jackson Dart keeps his eyes downfield. I'll give him that. He can scoot and get away from pressure, but easy San Francisco win.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.